Happy New Year. Thank you so much again for having us in 2017. A year ago, you were just getting your feet wet in this office. How does it feel to be here for a full year?
You know, it's kind of interesting. It's been a long year. I mean, active year. But now we're beginning to do some things for the second time. And so we've gotten into a little bit of a groove, if you will. And yeah, it's working out pretty well.
As you look into 2017, we've talked about many things, but are there like two or three kind of high priority things that you're looking for right now to start the year?
Well, back in January, I want to say on the 9th, but it could be off a day or two, we submitted a couple of proposals to the Indiana Department of Transportation with respect to the railroad traffic that we anticipate. And, you know, we those were well received, you know, by the department. But what they do now is they put those in the basket with the other projects that they're considering, and we'll just have to wait to see how those come out. But caution everybody to still remain patient because, you know, even if we move as quickly as DOT can move, 2022 will be likely the time when we start construction. So we, you know, sort of completed what we needed to for throughout 2016, made our submission in early January of 2017. And now we'll just have to wait to see how that holds out.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back just a little bit because we haven't talked to you lately. The new vice president, Mike Pence, not only our former Indiana governor, but he's from here in Columbus.
Yeah.
Were you able to participate in any of the festivities surrounding his send-off?
Right. As luck would have it, there was a mayor's conference in Washington, D.C. immediately prior to the inauguration. And I had made a decision several months ago to attend that, and then when the November elections occurred, I thought, well, what the, you know, might as well just stick around for the weekend and you know, watch the activities. So we were able to do that. There was an event Thursday night, and then, you know, three events: the swearing in, the parade, and then a ball on Friday, and then there was a fourth event sponsored by the Indiana Congressional Delegation on Saturday. So it was a bit of a whirlwind activity. We had a great time. It was really neat to be able to sort of see Mike up there. I mean, somebody who you know on a personal level, you know, accept the charge to be Vice President of the United States. It was neat to see the Columbus High School North, or the Columbus North High School Band march in the parade. So it was fun, you know, and meaningful to be able to participate in that. And, you know, I didn't get to spend much time with Mike, but I think he knew we were there, and I think he appreciated, you know, the support. So I'm glad to be able to do it.
So you know Vice President Mike Pence. Have you had a chance to really, and I know both of you are very busy, of course, but just talk to him and you know, kind of get his take on how he's doing?
Yeah, you know, there's a phrase or an expression about drinking from a fire hose, you know, and that's sort of what we went through the first 6 to 9 months of last year, and I'm sure that he's feeling that a little bit now. I've talked to him a couple of times, and frankly, from my perspective, he seems to be handling it pretty well. So more power to him. Wish him all the best.
You know, who might be overlooked too is the second lady, Karen Pence. She has a big new role as well. How do you think she'll transition into all this?
Karen's a pretty capable lady. I think she'll do just fine. You know, and what I would say is that anybody who's been a school teacher, particularly an elementary school teacher, will get along with the egos in Washington, D.C. just fine.
And of course, you're excited, the Columbus North High School band members. I'm sure they have plenty of stories to tell, but they also raised the money needed to go to the inauguration, right?
Right. I think it speaks pretty well for Columbus, you know, to be able to pull that together. And what I would say was about a 3-week period where, you know, state representative Milo Smith, you know, sort of took the lead and made some contacts. But people stepped up. And that's what's sort of important about Columbus, is that people are willing to pitch in and help and sort of see the value, particularly of trying to promote our young kids. So it felt good to see that come about.
I, of course, wanted to get your take on the current news of what's going on right now. President Trump's immigration order impacting many different aspects. There's a court order now to a stay, so that's holding that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you, I guess, as the mayor of Columbus, what's your response to the current executive order of the president?
Yeah, we really don't have a role here, you know, as mayor. I mean, our role with respect to immigration is to try to make people feel welcome, you know, and to the extent that this maybe, you know, walks in a different direction from that, you know, it makes it a little bit more difficult. But I think we talked in prior sessions about how Columbus has a pretty good-sized international community. We've got a couple thousand Indians. Well, we've got about 5,000 Latinos or Mexicans, 500 Chinese, maybe 300 Japanese, and then assorted, you know, other nationalities in smaller amounts. And so, you know, our concern is that those people realize that they really are welcome here, and that they make a viable and meaningful contribution to the quality of life that we have here. So, you know, we're hopeful that they realize that on a local level, you know, they're appreciated and welcome, and we'll just wait to see how the rest of this unfolds.
I just read a report yesterday about impacting Cummins.
Yes.
And how it's impacting factory workers, and you just kind of mentioned that too. I'm sure you could go to different businesses and Ivy Tech and students and
right.
and so forth as well. Have you been hearing any of that locally here?
Yeah, there's some concern over at Cummins about how not only their international travel will be affected, but many of their employees who are maybe foreign nationals with a green card. I mean, they're here legally. I mean, there's no immigration snafus other than there's concern that were they to leave the country, they might not be able to get back in. I think we've known for some time that Cummins makes more money outside the United States than inside. And so, trade and free trade and international trade has been a good thing for us, and we hope that's able to continue. But time will tell. We'll see where it goes.
What do you hope happens now?
Well, you know, there are certain parts of this that I think I sort of understand some of the urgency for. I mean, I've spent a little bit of time in southern Arizona. People down there are very excited about secure borders, you know. So, you know, perhaps, you know, we can address a topic such as that, and, you know, maybe that won't have such an effect here in Columbus, Indiana.
So let's go to the State House.
Sure.
A new governor, Eric Holcomb. What are some of the top concerns here in Columbus for the State House and legislation that's starting to be talked about?
Yeah, there are a couple things that we want to talk to the governor about, and one is the railroad issue that we've mentioned previously. I mean, some of the mitigation issues, there are mitigation efforts that we've identified will require some state assistance, and we want to make sure that he's aware of what we're facing, and obviously if he's on board, that's a whole lot better. We continue to be concerned about opioid use and abuse, and we feel like that we're going to need a fair amount of help from the state, you know, in trying to come up with realistic programs that address that. So, you know, I want to make sure that he fully understands the magnitude of the problem that we face.
You mentioned the railroads, and I see, of course, we talked about the rail traffic study that was last year, but recommendations starting to move forward. You've been meeting with the Louisville and Indiana CSX railroads,
yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, and LIRC.
And it sounded like that they might start to are working on some type of issue or solutions to the problems.
I don't know about that. I think that you know, where their current construction schedule is, they will be working between Seymour and Indianapolis during the daytime hours for this year, for 2017, and so we should see limited train traffic during the day. In 2018, they intend to replace the bridge over the Flat Rock River, and the latest guidance that we've received from them is that will happen probably in the second or third quarters of 2018. With increased train traffic to follow in the third or fourth quarters of 2018.
The Riverfront Project moving along. I read a report in the Republic about the updating the dam, but then there's a little bit of a discussion because there was a deadline, I think, to apply for a grant. Was it yesterday?
May have been. We've applied for the grant.
You have,
We did that quite some time ago.
Okay.
But yeah, and it's not a significant amount of money. I mean, it's a couple $100,000, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to put us over the top, if you will. But the dam that we have, it's kind of interesting. If you look at old pictures that date back to the 20s or 30s, I mean, it was a rubble, what they call a rubble dam, where you just went out there and dropped a bunch of rocks in the river. It was covered, a concrete cap was put on it several years later, and it's that concrete cap that you see today that's come apart and is starting to slide down a little bit. But our desire would be to replace the dam. You know, there are some people who really just want you to take them out. We don't want to lose, you know, some of the river height that we have upstream. And so I think we're just as interested in what comes after the dam as we are in trying to remove it. So that's part of the reason for the grant, and just try to get that that effort underway. We've had a couple of volunteer groups that have approached us, I mean, that are sort of interested in this Lowhead Dam issue. And the one that that's coming to mind is called Silver Jackets. And they've met with us a couple of times, and will help us through the process, you know, working with the various governmental agencies that are part of the decision-making process. So we're moving forward, you know, like a lot of things, you know, moves a little slower than what you'd like, but yeah, we're moving forward.
And just for everyone to kind of catch up, this is part, though, of a much bigger project.
Yes, it is. I mean, we've talked before about the Columbus People Trails is a fairly extensive system throughout town for people to either walk or use bicycles to get from here to there. One of the places that's been left unfinished is a connection here, what I call the land between the bridges. And as you can well imagine, it seems like you always leave the hard parts to last, you know, you do the easy stuff first. And it's a difficult site. I mean, we don't have a lot of room there. It's a rather tight site between the, say, the pump house and the White River. So what we hope to be able to do is to squeeze a people trail there, an 8 to 10 foot wide path that would accommodate bicycles and pedestrians. And at the same time, try to do something, you know, interesting with the river itself, you know, and hopefully do some landscaping that's, you know, a little bit not there today, you know, try to beautify the area somewhat.
I've also learned the city is moving forward on the removal of the blighted homes. I believe mm-hmm. that's part of the grant program. What's next in that process for that land?
Right. Well, it's a different grant. I mean, the Blighted Homes grant is, you know, another program. We tore down three houses a week before last, I believe, and we've got three queued up to go in the next week or so. And then we have other homes after that. It's really worked pretty well. I mean, it's a decent program that's sponsored by the federal government. We're using federal money. What the city does is supply oversight and staff time, you know, make sure the process runs. But the demolition costs are borne by the federal government, and there's a small payment to the property owner. And that, again, comes from the grant funds. At the end of the day, what we're left with is a flat piece of dirt that we then donate to one of the not-for-profit agencies here in town that promotes housing. One that comes to mind is Thrive Alliance, which, you know, will build a house that they will then sell to a qualifying applicant. And then the C4 program at Columbus North High School. They have a trades program where, you know, they will build a house. And it'll go through a similar kind of process where it's sold to a qualifying, you know, purchaser. Yeah. So, and that should all take place here yet in 2017.
So before we started recording, it was fun to talk to you about this new movie called Columbus that you were able to watch the premiere. Fair to say?
Yeah.
At the Sundance Festival, and you loved it.
We did. We had a chance to go out to Park City, Utah, which is where the Sundance Film Festival is held. First time I'd been to Park City, first time for the film festival, and it was really, it was fun. I mean, the energy and the excitement that's just present in the city for this event is pretty high, and it's fun to participate in that. But then to be able to see Columbus portrayed in the manner in which it was, I mean, the movie is an interesting story, and it's got a decent message about the relationship between parents and children, and particularly adult children. So I think that many people will sort of see the story. I mean, it's a kind of story that could be told about any community in southern Indiana. But what makes this movie special, particularly for us, is the use of the city as a backdrop. I mean, the city actually becomes a third lead actor, if you will. And the director of the movie, a fellow by the name of Koganaga, has a really great eye for cinematography and where to place the camera and how to do the angle with respect to the shot, get the light right, all that kind of stuff. And so I think that people who see it will be very pleased with the way Columbus is portrayed. Yeah.
And it's not something that people can run out right now and go see.
Correct.
Right?
You know, at the end of the day, you have to remember this, although it may be a piece of art, it is also a commercial endeavor. And so there are investors in this movie who would like to, you know, see a return on their investment. And the whole notion behind Sundance is that, you know, you take aspiring films or good films and you try to match them with a distributor, And so the hope is that somebody out there at Sundance in the distribution end of film industry saw the movie and they like it and they want to pick it up and distribute it. We weren't given much guidance in terms of how long that might take. 6 to 9 months would probably be reasonable. So we really won't know until that process is worked through when and if and when the movie will actually hit the big screen here in Columbus.